In the beginning was the Word. Is it not a little mind-blowing to realize that the Word is this morning? We can enter this new year confident that the Word of God is, because from the beginning, the Word was. When we think of the Word, we're thinking that it describes the Son. But in fact, the Word describes not only the Son, but also the Father. For even as the Word has been eternally spoken, the Father has been eternally speaking it. God in God's very nature is expressive. God is eternally speaking the Word to us, and the Word is eternally speaking to us of the nature of God and the nature of the universe and the nature of our lives. The question becomes, are we listening? Are we receptive? Are we receptive to the eternal Word that God is speaking to us about the very function of what we are meant to be? Ideas of God as remote, disinterested, a cosmic watchmaker who has fashioned the universe and now sits back and watches it unwind. That is not the image of the biblical God. God is eternally speaking the Word. The Word is eternally speaking to us of light and life. When the writer pens these words, he is echoing the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. God is speaking the Word to us. The Word is speaking to us of God. Are we listening and receptive? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not only is God expressive, but God in God's own nature is communal. It is a mind-blowing concept to realize that God in God's own nature is not singular, but complex. God in God's own nature, the Father is relating to the Son, and the Son to the Father, and the Father to the Spirit, and the Son to the Spirit, and the Spirit to the Father, and the Son. God in God's own nature is community. God in God's own nature is communal. That's why we're here. Because the imprint of God is upon each of us. And because God is communal by nature, we are communal by nature, and we only find our true identity in conversation and community with each other. Imprinted by God for community, we find our identity as part of the family of God. And as we worship, as we work together in Christ's name, we're a part of the community of Father and Son and Spirit. God is communal. And without the Word is not anything made that was made. Because God is not only expressive and communal, but God in God's very nature is creative. I want to ask you a question this morning, which maybe you've never paused to ask. Why is there something and not nothing? Why is there something and not nothing? Why are we? Why are we here? The answer is because God in God's own nature is creative. It delights God, not that God needs us, but it delights God to bring being into being. God is speaking the Word, and the Word is bringing being into being because it brings pleasure to God to bring being into being. Our lives are an expression of the pleasure of God's creative nature to create. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And yet the light shines in the darkness. That tells you just how real and connected to reality our Scripture is. God, this passage talks of grand things, God, beginning, light, life, creation. But it is not unaware that there is another reality in our universe, the reality of darkness, evil, sin, pain. The Bible offers us a balanced view of the world. Yes, there is light. Yes, there is life. Yes, there is good. But there is also that which resists evil, resists good. A darkness that tries to quench light. A rebellion against the light. And to rebel against the light and life is a destructive urge. But there are people and forces on earth whose role seems to be to destroy rather than create. And let's be honest. There are times in the chaos of our lives, in the uncertainty of it, in the pain and frustration of it, there are times when we are inclined to believe that the darkness will gain sovereignty over creation. But the Word of God comes to us powerfully, creatively to say, the darkness cannot overcome the light. The word we use is the word, word. But really, John uses the word logos, which means creative force. Creative force. The word is a creative force that brings light and life, and the darkness cannot quench it. The light will ultimately prevail. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. What a really odd verse. What a really odd place to put that. Here, the Scripture's talking about grand things. The beginning of all things, God, light, life, creation, darkness. And then suddenly, there's this verse. There's a man named John that God sends. All right, God sent him, but he's still just a man. But that sentence tells us much about the nature of our God and our cosmos. God's scope is cosmic in nature. But God's will is manifested through human instruments in human history. John was just a man. He was not the light. He was not the Word. His role was to bear witness to the light, to bear witness to the Word. John was just a little word meant to prepare the way for the big Word. Does it ever occur to us that all of us are God's little words meant to give testimony to the big Word of Christ? We are little lights we shine those little lights of ours, that we might give testimony to the light of Christ? Amidst all of these themes of light and life and darkness, there's a man. Because God uses human instruments, mere human people, to make His love manifest in the world. The true light that enlightens everyone is coming into the world. He was in the world, but the world received Him not. Woven into those two sentences are extraordinary revelations. We call Logos creative force, but it was also translated by the ancients as reason or wisdom. And the wondrous fact is, God speaks a word to us in such a way that the world and God become intelligible. That's a miracle. Someone asked Albert Einstein, what's the most extraordinary fact about the universe? And he said, the most amazing thing is of the universe is intelligible to us. A mother babbles to her infant so that in babbling to that infant, the infant begins to understand the language of the mother. God, in speaking the word, babbles to us in language we can understand so that we can make sense of God. We can make sense of the world and of our own lives. The word that enlightens every person is babbling to us in language we can grasp. Some years ago, Melissa sent me an email, and I opened it, and it seemed complete gibberish because somehow my computer had translated her email into Turkish, which did me absolutely no good. The world would be Turkish to us if God did not babble to us in language we can understand and convey to us wisdom and reason with which we can make sense of our God and our universe and our own lives. He came into the world and the world knew Him not. He came into His own home and His own people received Him not. What does St. Augustine say? Our hearts are made for Thee, O God, and they remain restless until they find their rest in Thee. But the great irony of our existence is, even though we are fashioned by the living Word, even though the living Word babbles to us, even though the Word undergirds us, we can ignore the Word. We can shut the Word out. We can reject the Word. We can, as Norma's license plate says, live for me. We can turn a deaf ear to the word that God is speaking. But if we do, we lose our light and our life. We lose the real destiny that the word intends for us. Hidden in these words is an extraordinary truth about God. God is a risk taker. God is a risk taker. To bring creation into being was to risk rebellion, rejection, sin, darkness, evil, pain. But God took that risk, believing that God could pay the price for that vulnerability in God's own being. I'm going to ask you a question this morning that I suspect you've never been asked. Are you an infralapsarian Christian or a supralapsarian Christian? That's a lawyer for you, trying to cover his bases and everything. The infralapsarians, and I should tell you, Christians debated this for two centuries. The infralapsarians saw God as not having afforded for human rebellion. God brought creation into being and expected it to remain as God intended, had not anticipated rebellion and sin and rejection. Now, once it happened, God immediately took steps to deal with it. But it was not God's intention. Otherwise, God would be made ultimately responsible for evil and pain. But the supralapsarians said, no, no. God knew from the beginning that creation would entail risk. And once you gave creation freedom, they would inevitably misuse it. And there would be pain, and there would be rejection. There would be darkness and evil. But having anticipated that, God was willing to risk it because God believed God could accept the pain and risk in God's own being. And so through the Word, God spoke a word, and the word spoken was also the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In God's anticipation of our rejection of His light and life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You don't realize how controversial that phrase was. The first heresy in the early church was that Christ was not actual flesh, that He only appeared to be human, but that was just a mirage because He was only divine. Otherwise, He would have sullied the divine with human qualities. But the Christian said, no. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, knew our vulnerability, knew our limitations, knew our mortality, suffered our height and our depth. And there is no pit into which we can fall that Christ has not been there first. The Word became real flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld His glory. The word for glory is doxa. Doxa. Does that sound familiar to you? Because it's the word from which we get the word doxology. Doxa. Praise be to God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Doxa, which means radiance, glory, effulgence. The Magi that we celebrate this morning traveled afar until they found the child and glorified in His doxa and went away radiating the effulgence of the light of the world. That, my friends, is our role, to bring to the Christ whatever gifts we have, and to relish His doxa, and to go out into the world radiating the light of Christ. For then we make the Word flesh in the lives of others. May we pray together. Lord, you're speaking the word to us. May we open our ears to hear it. May it resound in the depths of our soul. And may we radiate with a glory that can be seen by a world in darkness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.